A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen, and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torments in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you a great chasm is established, to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If it will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone would rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Good afternoon once again. We are now in our fourth week of our series, Breathing Room, and I'm going to take a minute to catch everyone up to speed on what's been going on. We've been saying that breathing room is just having space to breathe. Money left over at the end of the week or at the end of the month because you didn't spend it all. Finding yourself with extra time to collect your thoughts. Coming to the end of the day and having the emotional energy to at least talk to those you live with. Getting the rest you need to work well in school. We all have limits, and the means we have, that means everyone has limits. You only have so many hours in the day, so many days in the week, so much money in the bank, and however amazingly talented you are, whatever limitless resources or energy you may have, they're all limited too. Of course, there are times and seasons and projects and opportunities when we need to push ourselves. But if we push too far, if we push too fast for too long, that's when bad things begin to happen. That's when relationships are put in danger. Opportunities are lost. And sometimes addictions are formed. Life is better. People are better. We're better people with breathing room. In the course of this series, we've noted the various ways in which this actually happens. First, with breathing room, you enjoy what you're doing more, and you'll be more successful at what you do. Second, with breathing room, relationships can flourish because you actually have the time that relationships require. Third, with breathing room, we're kinder. We can actually notice other people and slow down to consider their needs and their feelings. Fourth, with breathing room, we enjoy greater freedom and wider possibilities. We're not just shackled to the demands of what is urgent. Fifth, and most importantly, with breathing room, we're in a position to be disciples. We've been saying that discipleship is all about becoming students and followers of Jesus Christ. And by its very nature, it requires extra space beyond the confines of our daily schedule. Discipleship demands breathing room. Life is better with breathing room, but the sad fact is that it doesn't just happen. We have to go get it if we want it. We've got to count the cost before adding anything to our daily schedule. Maybe we've got to go back and then reevaluate that schedule and those obligations after we've done those calculations. A big part of identifying and maintaining breathing room is simply coming to our senses and recognizing the real cost of what is going on in our lives. In a particular way, last week, we looked at financial breathing room. We encouraged you to build some breathing room into your budget and to tackle debt. Now today, we want to be able to get at the root of what causes all of this, what causes these problems, and why do we struggle so much to find that breathing room in our lives? Why do we gravitate towards lifestyles that drown out that breathing room? And now it's true that modern life pushes us to our limits, but so often it's not that hard to push us to those limits because we're more than willing to go. Our culture encourages debt, but we don't need to be encouraged that much because something in us loves to spend. Some of us promise ourselves that this year we will not stay up till 2 a.m. doing homework, or that we won't be playing catch up all year. I could relate to that as a student. Some are resolved not to get sucked up into family drama. And some time may pass and we have this freedom, we don't have that drama in our lives, but when it's presented to us, it's enticing, it's hard to stay away from it. We have to ask ourselves, why do we keep going back to those places that we know dries out this breathing room? Well, that's a question we're going to answer. But before we go there, I'm gonna give everyone a little warning. Today's message isn't for your spouse. Today's message isn't for your kids. It's not for your mother-in-law. It's not for your sister-in-law. It's not for your boss. It's not for your coworkers. This message is for you and for me. To help us understand this a little better, we're going to look at a passage from Luke's gospel. Jesus tells a story as often as he did, because stories were a basic way in which he taught. And the story starts like this. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, full of sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Jesus was an amazing storyteller. We have so many details in so little verses. We see this disparity between this rich man and this poor man named Lazarus. The story tells us that the rich man clothes himself in very expensive clothing and then enjoys a very lavish lifestyle, while the poor man was beyond poverty, that he was destitute. But what makes this image so compelling is the juxtaposition of the two alongside one another. Often poverty tends to hide itself and wealth to separate itself. But here, they're displayed side by side. The poor man wants crumbs and scraps on the table, something, anything. But while the rich man just wants one thing, more. In this book, How the Mighty Fall, author and teacher Jim Collins studies a few of the once great companies that eventually fell from grace. They were companies that once dominated their industry, made vast amounts of money, and then disappeared into the ash heap of history. It turns out they all had something in common. And Collins discovered and was very surprised that his research revealed that the failed companies didn't fall because of complacency, It wasn't complacency that killed those companies. It was the undisciplined pursuit of more. More money, more growth, more success. And it turns out that more money, more growth, more success can blind even the most successful and the most intelligent, so that they forget about their values, they forget about their history, their core economic engine, and what made them successful in the first place. In short, in their pursuit of more, they forgot who they were and what's really going on. Collins calls this the undisciplined pursuit of more. Now, there's nothing in Jesus' story that suggests that the rich man was cruel or that he was complacent. He just didn't see the poor man because he was so busy pursuing more. His more was pleasure, the best clothes, and the finest food. And meanwhile, he missed out on the reality right in front of him, the good he could have accomplished. And that the same goes for us. We don't lack breathing room because of complacency, or bad luck, or misfortune, or the demands of those around us. Surely none of us are cruel or even mean-spirited. These are not the reasons. No, we lack breathing room because of our undisciplined pursuit of more. Maybe your more is pleasure, like the guy in the story. Maybe it's just money. Maybe you're an approval addict. You long for more and more approval and will do anything to get it. Now for some of you, and this may hurt, but you want more and more sports glory for your kids. The reason you run all over town is because you're trying to live through your children and get what you never had. So you push them to the limits. Others, it may be busyness. Because if you're busy, if you're constantly on the go, that means you must be somebody important. Do you know the guy who is always telling you how busy he is as a way of telling you how successful he is? Or the mom who sighs and as she describes how crazy her life is while clearly relishing in her status? There is a certain status in being busy. It's a kind of currency, and it makes us seem more important. It allows us to call the shots. We could be the center of attention. None of these things are bad in themselves. Money, success, sports, approval, these are all good things. But each of us can begin to believe they will fill the ache in our hearts. And we keep chasing the more, thinking that one day, ultimately, it will heal the pain, or it will fill our hearts. But if we slow down, if we stop pursuing it, we might have to realize that they don't really fill the ache in our hearts. The pursuit for more only numbs the pain. So why are we so busy? Because we want more. It is that simple. And in each of our hearts, there is something that pushes us to the limits. It is the illusion of that more and chasing that more, more approval, more money, more success, more, that will finally and completely satisfy the ache in our hearts. But it's a lie. It doesn't exist. It's a shadow of reality. More only blinds us to reality. Blinds us from the pain and suffering around us. It keeps us from really facing the hurts of our own hearts and opening ourselves up to God's grace, which can really make that happen for us. It blinds us from reality and prevents us from really making our lives matter in the way they should and could, from really serving the people around us. And worse still, It leads us to where we do not want to be. Look how the story continues. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and at his side, Lazarus. The rich man finally saw Lazarus. The only difference here, there's nothing that he could do to rectify the situation. His more is taken away from him, and circumstances are being dictated to him now. The good he could have accomplished is no longer possible. The undisciplined pursuit of more always leads to the same place. You may call it hell, but I'd like to call it regret. Regret that we missed out on the people around us, and sadly, the opportunity to serve and to love God. You see, here's the moral of the story. It's true you can do anything that you want to. You just can't do everything that you want to. You can never do everything that you want to. But meanwhile, there's so much more that you can do, that you should do. So since you can't do everything, why not do the best thing?